Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Over the past 15 years, I've had the pleasure of working with thousands of women. And what I have found that women fall into one of these five categories. They're either the perfect Pam. You know, everything has to be lined up just so. You know, there's a spreadsheet for a spreadsheet kind of person. And there's a no failure in their life. Or a comfort Connie, you know, food your spirit animal. And after a bad day, you'll take to a couch with some pretzel thins, hummus, and a straw in a bottle of wine. Or a mojo mama. Before kids, you could kill it. And after kids, you're lucky if you could get out of the house without puke on your shirt. And then there's Freedom Frankie. You know, she knows how to live a happy, healthy life, and she's truly at peace with her body no matter what. And then we have Suffering Sally. You count every calorie, every point, every step, and still, you still can't seem to find something that's going to stick. So which one best describes you? I've created this fun new quiz, and you can just grab it there in the show notes and see who you are. And do me a favor, let me know who you are. I'd love to see if who you thought you were was who you actually ended up with in the quiz. Enjoy. All right, Magic Makers, today I'm going there. I'm going there about food and workout obsession. And I know that many people listening to this have either experienced it, maybe they're going through it now, maybe they're thinking about, am I having a bit of an obsession? But this is, I want to feel like we all have periods of time when we fall into an obsession. And I don't think I've talked enough about me and my obsessions that I had. I weighed and measured everything I ate. You know, I would go out to restaurants and legit tell them exactly how to make my food, right? I looked at the menu as if it's on the menu, that means they have it in the kitchen. So I'm just going to tell them exactly how to make my food. And, you know, fortunately, I had like a good personality about it, but I've also seen people like lose their shit because there wasn't omega-3 eggs, right? So I feel like I thought I was balanced. And now that I look on the other side of it, you know, there are people who, you know, have been in my life, you know, before, during, and after that time. And, you know, there are people who I will go to their house and be like, hey, don't worry about it. I bought you liquid egg whites. Or people who, you know, will be like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, Kim brings her own food. And I was one of those people. I brought my own food to a lot of places. You know, I was just so worried, I don't know, petrified that one false move and I would lose all of my gains, right? And I feel that I didn't come out on the other side of this until about, I'd say, 6 years ago. And, you know, most people will ask you what was the turning point? And it took me a long time to realize what it was because I didn't, you know, when you're going through something, there's no like, you know, doorbell that rings that says, hey, girl, you're on the other side, or hey, girl, this is the pivotal moment. Like, I wish, because there's so many stories. You know, I've had people ask me the question, and I'm like, God, I don't know. I don't know how I like broke free of that obsession. And it literally took me probably about 2 months ago where I finally realized, like, what was that like moment that I hit that pivot? You know, what was the moment that, you know, I could break free from the 2 hour workouts, right? You know, I remember going to the gym and I would go with my husband, and we would go before work. And if we couldn't do a 2 hour workout before work, because he had a meeting, I was pissed.
Like, I'm pissed because my husband has to go to a work meeting. What? But then I'd be like, well, okay, when am I gonna get that extra hour in? When am I gonna get that extra hour in? Or if on a weekend I couldn't get in a 2-hour workout, I was like, well, why work out? Like, if you can't work out for 2 hours, just why work out? You know, I was so all or nothing. Or waking up before going to the beach, and in order to earn the trip to the beach, I literally scoured the greater Boston area to find a gym that opened at 6 so I can get in my 2-hour workout and still be able to go to the beach. Yeah, I did that. So when did this obsession break for me? 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago now, my husband and I went on a 30-day vacation, and we were going to Australia. And I was like, I don't really know what's possible for me in Australia. And I was like, you know what? I just don't want to Google the shit out of every location, right? We're literally traveling every 2 to 3 days. We're moving to another place. And I knew that jet lag always kicks my ass, and we're going to be, you know, almost a day ahead of Boston. And so I said to myself, okay, Kim, what would make me feel okay? And I said, well, we don't have a car, so I know I can get in my steps. So I'm going to have 10,000 steps a day. I know that pretty much everywhere we go, I could probably get a salad. And if I have a big ass salad every single day with some protein on it, at least I'll feel like I'm getting at least a great meal. And third, sleep, right? You know, because I know jet lag just kicks my ass. I know I have to really prioritize getting my sleep, because for me, when I don't sleep, I become a hungry, hungry Hannah, and I also become a bitch. So those are the two things that those three things, I was like, all right, if I can do these three things, it will make me feel like I am not just like laying down and going on a 30-day vacation. And so what I did was like, all right, let me just document this just for like shits and giggles. And so I weighed myself the day we were getting on the plane, and I got up and weighed myself. And then I weighed myself, went on my 30-day trip, and I was like, I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to, like, you know, work out when I work out. And it, you know, it worked out that I was probably getting in like probably about 3 like workouts a week where we were. And so I was like, all right, I got home and I only put on 2 pounds. 2 pounds in 30 days without the obsession of, you know, every morsel in my mouth. Every workout had to do this, and every. And it was fabulous. And that was the turning point for me, where I started creating what I called my non-negotiables, right? You know, what are the minimum things I can do? Because let's just face it, life. We all have things that, like, life just comes up and just throws our week away. I mean, come on, let's just be honest. Rona has thrown everyone for a tailspin. You know, and I feel like, you know, now we're, you know, almost a year in, we're now maybe trying to figure out what our new normal is. And so here's where, you know, I reached out and I asked, you know, 4 of my, you know, fitness friends, like, what about them? You know, what was their obsession, and how did they get to the other side of it? And, you know, it was very interesting. So the first person that you're going to hear from is a woman by the name of Kim Schapner. And, you know, she was supersonically obsessive to the point that she had a severe eating disorder. And when you see the 360 that she's come through on this side, it is just, you know, remarkable that the headspace that she was in, like such a like obsessive headspace, to now being on the other side of it and just saying, you know what, I'm safe to do less. I'm safe that my workouts don't have to be hours and hours and hours and hours in order for me to get the results that I'm seeking. So have a quick listen to Kim and let me know how that resonates with you.
Thing that I have definitely worked on with my food and workouts that I feel like I've overcome is really working on the obsessive need to do more. What I have found is when I do less, my body responds much better. So instead of doing excessive cardio, I focus more on lifting and walking. And I found by far this is so much more beneficial for my body and my mind. It reduces inflammation. I feel a million times better. I sleep better. I don't have as many cravings. And I know the jump feels scary, especially if you've been doing chronic cardio. But what I found is we often end up eating more the more cardio we do versus if we're doing weight training and some walks and maybe a hit here or there, you're much more likely to reduce your caloric intake naturally, build more lean muscle, and just overall feel better.
This one right here from Stephanie, I feel that so many people can relate to. You know, I remember the first food that was vilified was fat, right? And so everything was low fat, no fat, right? And then it turned into sugar-free. And then it was carbs. Carbs are the devil. And so many people still today are like, oh, I don't get any carbs. And, you know, they wear it like a badge of honor. And one of the biggest things that I propose is that there's no right or wrong with food, right? There's no good food or bad food, right? Okay, there's a moderation point, okay? Because let's be honest, you know, chocolate, cookies, and cake are never going to be the road to healthy living. But I know that when I forbid myself from having them, I binge like a mofo. And so what I challenge people, and just what Stephanie is going to, you know, really bring out here, is that when you start to, you know, drastically remove random food groups from your life, other areas of your life become affected. You know, she talks about not being able to have the energy to get her through her workouts because she was so low carb. And she talked about being afraid of even berries, right? And berries are probably the one of the most low carb foods out there for you. You know, I had a client who was so low carb, low protein. She didn't have the energy for workouts. And when I gave her like some protein and told her to eat some more vegetables, my God, she's like, I can't believe I finally have the energy to lift and play with my kids. So listen to what Stephanie has to say. I love her approach. I love that it was, you know, I want to say many of us don't have a process, right? We just, you know, one day we Google, we scroll, we find something on the interwebs and someone said, this is bad. And like the next day we just radically change our diet, change our life. And we don't ever really take a look at like, oh shit, did it work for me? I don't know. Right? Where Stephanie is like, okay, I figured out that my low carb life wasn't working for me. And this is how I'm going to methodically get back in the game. So have a listen and tell me what you think about Miss Stephanie.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Stephanie K Wellness. And one thing I used to obsess about was how many carbs I ate. I went very low carb, maybe even, I went even keto for a while. And this started in late 2017, and I did not fully overcome this obsession until late last year. It got so bad. This was maybe the kind of the low point was maybe early 2020. It got so bad that I was too scared to even eat berries. And it was kind of at that point when I knew that I needed to do something or this was just going to get worse. So I stopped listening to what the experts were saying and I decided to just really focus on how my body felt and what I was feeling in my body when I ate carbs. And it had been so long since I ate carbs that I wasn't really sure how I was going to feel. So I just started reintroducing small amounts. I started with berries and sweet potato. And I realized that those two foods not only felt really good when I ate them, I really enjoy those foods, but also they were helping me in my workouts. Like they were actually making my workouts better. And so I continued to eat more. I tried out different amounts, different types, and all with the feeling of, all with like the general leading principle of how is this making me feel? And like not really worrying about what people were saying about carbs, what the keto people were saying, what the low carb people were saying, just kind of going with my own intuitions. And so that was maybe June, maybe spring of 2020 when I really started adding the carbs in. And I really didn't overcome this completely until late 2020. And I would say at the beginning, when I started doing this, I really thought I was going to go crazy, that I was going to eat all of the carbs. Like I thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to control myself around these. But in the end, my body kind of knew what to do. It knows what it likes. Of course, I also eat cakes and cookies too occasionally, but the main thing is that I eat the carbs that I like. I don't obsess about them anymore. I don't count my macros. I don't count my calories. I just eat what I like. And I have been kind of sticking to this for 3 or 4 months now, and I feel really good about it. And I feel like the obsession is still a little bit there, but it is waning so much. Like it is going away. And I really feel that continuing this kind of intuitive process with the carbs is the way that I'm going to fully get over the no carb obsession. And that's all.
Here we have Lisa Mustard, and I absolutely adore her. And, you know, because we both kind of had these, like, you know, obsessiveness, and we're fortunate that our husbands saw it. And while they were, like, you know, kind of keeping their eye on it, they were the ones who kind of helped us to just realize that you don't have to do all the things, right? And one of the things I love about Lisa is that she talks about, you know, that she fell in love with, like, you know, what her body could do and then took it to the next level. And I think all of us get to that point where we, like, see these gains and we're like, oh, wow, if I do more, I'll get more. If I do more, I'll keep it. And we start to shift our focus into it's what I want to be. It's who I want to, you know, it's who I am is what the focus shifts on. And I have a whole podcast coming up talking about how do you separate, you know, the fitness from life. And it's just a great listen. But listen to what Lisa talks about with her intermittent fasting and her cardio and how she was able to get over and over to the other side of that.
Hey, Kim, this is Lisa Mustard. And one of the things that I used to obsess about, like obsess about, was intermittent fasting and cardio. Many years ago, I was asked to be in a fashion show, and the fashion show had me wearing, like, it wasn't really a bathing suit, but it definitely showed off my midriff and my legs. And I had just had a baby, and I'd done some research about the fastest way to lose weight. In fact, I think I actually Googled that, and I came across intermittent fasting, and it worked in the beginning. It worked, and then I kind of hit a plateau with it. So I thought, well, I'll just add in some cardio to that. And that was a recipe for, well, it was a recipe for results, but it was also a recipe for disaster because I was so burnt out and tired of intermittent fasting and exercising by the time that fashion show rolled around, that I had hit a bottom and I didn't know of another way to reach my goals unless it was that kind of extreme behavior. So after the fashion show, I just hit a wall, I hit a bottom, and I knew I couldn't go back to what I was doing, and my body wasn't responding anymore, and I was tired all the time and I was hungry all the time, and I was just really grumpy. And about that same time, is the way I came out of it was my husband, thankfully, was a voice of reason, because I hit that bottom. And when I hit that bottom, I had a conversation with him, and he said, well, I know that gave you the results, moving forward, do something that's going to be healthier and going to give you more of vibrancy and longevity and help you build strength, not just a, you know, a scale weight kind of goal or a what you see in the mirror kind of goal. And when I finally wrapped my head around that and started to kind of get back into training, a plan that made sense and was enjoying working out again, everything started to fall back into place. It took some time. It didn't happen overnight. But that intermittent fasting and doing a lot of cardio was a recipe for me to hit a while. Now, I still intermittent fast these days, but I do it in a sane way, and I rarely do cardio like I used to. Instead, I focus on lifting heavy. I focus on getting my nutrition right. I focus on walking. I focus on mindset, and I am in such a happier, better space, and I have found peace. I have found peace with my body. I found peace with my mindset. I have found peace with food and just really am able to now to enjoy, activity again and not be so focused on vanity goals. I hope your listeners find this helpful, and I'm here if they have questions or need support. And thanks again for asking. I love your show. It's awesome.
All right. Next up, we have Kira Williams. And this is what I absolutely love about her is that she always comes up with these like little golden nuggets that I'm like, oh, I love it. You know, she's someone who I remember meeting her back when she was doing fitness competitions. And we maybe had a 20-minute conversation, if that. And this was probably like 10 years ago. And we've just remained friends. Like, we've just had that kind of relationship. And I enjoy those kind of relationships. And I'm fortunate that I have a lot of friends like this. And so Kira's one of them. And she's still actively competing. She's shifted. She does a lot of CrossFit competitions. She's also gotten into some weightlift competitions. And what I love about her is that she talks about like, she's still like actively competing. So yeah, she's got to be regimented, but she also recognizes when she needs to rest, recognizes when that pause needs to happen versus pushing her body into submission. And I know many of you listening to this right now feel like, if I stop, everything stops. If I stop, then I won't get up again, right? But here's the thing. Do you have a goal on the other side? You know, so many times I ask people, what is their goal? And they give me a blank stare. And I was like, so why are you working so fucking hard? You know, if you're working so fucking hard, please tell me there's a Mercedes for you on the other side of this. Please tell me that there is some type of caveat for why you're working so bleeping hard. So have a listen to Kira and let me know what you think, how you feel. And I would love to hear, what is your goal? Why do you work so hard?
Hey, it's Kira from KiraWilliamsFitness.com. Kim asked me to share how I've overcome my obsession with working out and eating perfectly. And I told her I can't actually say that I have stopped my obsession because I'm still pretty obsessive over these things. So I'm actually in training currently for nationals in weightlifting and CrossFit Open. So missing workouts is something that I have a very hard time wrapping my head around and something that I really try not to do. But I had a competition, just a local competition this past weekend. And on Monday, I showed up to the gym and I just kind of took it easy. And part of me, you know, really didn't want to take it easy, but I knew I had that rational thought of, okay, you need to take it easy so you can recover and be good to go for the long haul. And I think that rationalization is huge. We have to have that constant self-talk with ourselves to let ourselves remember and feel okay when, you know, things aren't going to go as we necessarily want them to, or would like them to. And that same thing applies to food as well. So that one is something where I'm still, I would say I'm a little less obsessive. I don't necessarily track my food. And for me, you know, I definitely have the desire to eat clean and eat healthy. But if I'm not perfect about it, it's not that big of a deal.
All right, Magic Maker. So you just heard all four of my guests today talk about their obsession and how they got on the other side, or how they temper their obsession because they're working towards a goal. So I'd love for you to share with me, what is it that you feel that you are obsessed with right now? And if you feel like, you know what, I don't know how to get through it, let's have a conversation, you know, because I know what it was like that when I was towards the end of my competition career, I was towards the end of kind of just feeling like I just was feeling burnt out. Like I couldn't go to the gym. I didn't have the drive that I had anymore, but I just felt like I had to, right? I felt like working out and living healthy was my fucking job. And if you feel like that, let's have a conversation because it's something that I'm really want to explore because I know that when I got on the other side of it, I felt like it could be effortless. I also was forced to get on the other side of it because I literally blew out my adrenals and blew up my thyroid. And so I was forced to sit down on the bench. And I don't want anyone else to get to that point where they're forced to sit on the bench. I want to help people get to the point where they can start to create a process, start to create a lifestyle that feels effortless, a lifestyle that feels like I am not batshit crazy, a lifestyle that feels like I can go on vacation and enjoy myself and not feel like I'm going to release the hounds and come back 100 pounds, up 100 pounds, right? Or feel that once I stop going to the gym, 2 hours a day, that my 600 pound life is going to come knocking on my door. You know, I really want to work with women who want to get to that point where it's just working out and eating healthy is just what I do. And it's not obsessing and the extra brain power that you spend calculating, how many carbs is in what you're eating and, can you get extra protein when you get home? Like those extra brain thoughts shouldn't happen anymore because with all the brain power that we have spent on our food and our exercise, we probably could have cured cancer and probably could cure the next pandemic. All right. So reach out to me. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about this episode. Have a fabulous day.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.